Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, many times when we think about the heroes of our faith, certain names might come to mind. We might think of Noah, Abraham, or Moses from the Old Testament. We might think of the disciples, John the Baptist, or even Paul from the New Testament. And as we think about these heroes of the faith, for me at least, I look at these men and I think, man, these are men that I want to be like. These are men that I want to emulate. I want my life to look like these that we would call faithful. Now, someone that doesn't quite make the list to me, is Jonah, right? The man that disobeyed before he obeyed. However, if I'm honest, as I look at my own life at times, even though Jonah doesn't make the list for me as someone that I want to be like, as I look at my own life, many times I think that my life looks a little bit more like Jonah than it does some of these other men. And maybe you can relate to that. So when I was growing up, just like many other kids, and this is probably because of what adults ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? So just like many other kids, I was thinking about what I wanted to be when I grew up. And when I was really little, I just wanted to be like my dad. And so because he was a pastor, I wanted to be a pastor. But then as I started to get a little bit older, I realized, man, there are a lot of options out there. There are many things that I could choose from. And so as I got a little older, there was a period of time that I wanted to be a scientist or an astronaut. By the time I got into high school, it really became, man, I just want to make a lot of money. And so I started looking for a job that I felt like I could make a lot of money. And so by the time I was a sophomore in high school, I had landed on becoming a dentist when I grew up. And so I went into my sophomore year of high school kind of with this plan, when I grow up, I'm going to become a dentist. But later that year, as I was sitting in my chemistry class, a class that would be very important for me if I were going to become a dentist, I felt like the Lord spoke into my heart and said, I don't want you to become a dentist. I want you to become a pastor. Now, I remember that moment like it was yesterday. I was 16 years old. And as much as I believe that it was the Lord speaking to me, that it was the Lord calling me, man, that calling scared me. You see, I knew myself at 16 years old. I knew my shortcomings. I knew my struggles. I even knew my fears, right? I had no desire to stand up in front of people to talk. In fact, my sister, when I was a freshman in high school, at the end of my freshman year, my sister graduated from high school. She was valedictorian in her class. And so because she was valedictorian, she had to make a speech to the entire school and everybody that was at the graduation, right? And so at the end of the graduation, I told my parents, I do not want to be the valedictorian. And they asked me why, and I said, because I don't want to get up in front of a crowd of people to speak, right? Joke's on me. But as a sophomore in high school, right, hearing that call from the Lord, my response was not simply to surrender in obedience. My initial response was to ignore and avoid, and maybe God would forget. Right? Or maybe he would realize that he made a mistake. And so over the next couple of years, until I finally surrendered to the call to ministry when I was a freshman in college, I really just struggled in my head and in my heart, trying to decide what I was going to be, trying to make a decision because I was trying to land on anything other than what the Lord had called me to. The struggles that I could have avoided had I simply just responded to the Lord with obedience in the first place. So this morning, we're launching into a series in the book of Jonah titled, Get Up and Go. So this morning, you can turn with me in your Bible to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 this morning, just the very beginning of the book of Jonah. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. And as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. The book of Jonah is considered to be one of the minor prophets. Now, if you remember those terms, minor prophets and major prophets, they don't have anything to do with the importance of the book or the importance of the prophet. They're simply related to the size of the book. And so because the book of Jonah is a shorter book, it's only four chapters, it's considered to be a minor prophet. But as we look at the message of the book of Jonah, the message of the book of Jonah is anything but minor. I would say that the message that we see in the book of Jonah is a major message. And so I want to give you this overarching truth, an overarching message that we see in the book of Jonah. Here it is. When it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. Hear that again. When it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. Now, some of us, like myself, have learned that the hard way over the years. Some of us, however, right, because we have the book of Jonah, we are able to look at the book of Jonah and we are invited to learn from his mistakes. We are invited to learn from his experience. I'm reminded of Proverbs 21:11, which says, "When a mocker is punished, the inexperienced become wise." Others have said it this way, "A wise person learns from his own mistakes. A wiser person learns from the mistakes of others." And so we have the opportunity to look at the book of Jonah. We can look at Jonah's life. We can look at Jonah's mistakes, and we can learn from Jonah's mistakes that we might gain wisdom that we wouldn't make these mistakes ourselves. So when it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. So there's a couple of things that I want to say about walking in obedience to the Lord's call. First, when it comes to obedience to the Lord's call, we don't always know the full picture. Now, I'm not an athlete. Never played football when I was in high school, but I know when I'm at the game on Friday night, you have the players on the field, you have the coaches on the sidelines, but you also have some coaches that are up higher in a box looking down at the entire field. And there are times where plays are called, and the players on the field, they may not understand why a certain play is called, but they're not able to see the full picture. Right? They don't see what the coaches on the sideline see. They don't see what the coaches up in the box see. And so the call that is made is not based on what the players are able to see. The call that's made is based on what those who are able to see the full picture, what they're able to see. And so as we think about this and as we apply it to obeying the Lord's call, let me give you this encouragement. Even when you don't know the full picture, trust the one who does. Amen. Even when you don't know the full picture, trust the one who does and obey the one who knows the full picture. Second, when it comes to the Lord's call, we don't always see immediate results. In other words, sometimes we do what the Lord has called us to, and then it takes time for his plan and his purpose to be accomplished. Much like a farmer that goes out and plants seeds, right? Then that seed must be watered and then harvested. It takes time. It's a step in the process. And so sometimes our obedience is like planting that seed. Our obedience is that step in the process of what God wants to accomplish. Remember, that plant wouldn't grow had that seed not first been planted. So let me give you this encouragement this morning. Even when you don't see the results, it doesn't mean that your step of obedience was less important. Maybe you need to be reminded of that truth today. Even when you don't see the results, it doesn't mean that your step of obedience was less important. Every step in the process of planting, watering, and harvesting is an important step in the process. And so we want to walk in obedience to whatever the Lord has called us to. Now, as we look at the book of Jonah, what we see, though, is that Jonah knew exactly what the Lord was calling him to, and he knew exactly why the Lord was calling him to do it. Jonah just struggled to walk in obedience to the call. So with that in mind, let's read these verses, Jonah 1, 1 through 3. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. So as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there in verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now when we see things like this, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, man, we might think, man, that's amazing for God to do, to speak to Jonah. And we might think to ourselves, man, I wish God would speak to me too. And so I want to give you this encouragement this morning. He has. God has spoken to you already. In fact, I would say this, the word of the Lord is here, and God is speaking to you through his word once again today. I recently read these words from another pastor. He posted them on Facebook. He said, want a fresh word from the Lord? Buy a new Bible. Want to hear God speak audibly? Read the Bible out loud. Want to think God's thoughts after him? Memorize and internalize as much of the Bible as you can. Want to make disciples? Teach the Bible. Want to counsel lovingly and faithfully? Use the Bible. Want to preach in a helpful and timeless way? Preach the Bible. You see, God has not made hearing from him complicated for us. I think many times we make it more complicated than it is supposed to be. God has made it very simple for us, very accessible for us. The word of the Lord is here, and God is speaking to you through his word once again today. Now, as we think about God's word, there are two things that we are to do with God's word. We are to hear God's word, and we are to obey God's word. We saw this truth when we were in the book of James in our series, Walk the Walk, that we are not to simply be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word as well, that we are to take God's word and we are to respond to God's word with obedience. Unfortunately for Jonah heard God's word, but he didn't respond in obedience. And so as we look at these few verses this morning, there are three things that I want to look at with you in our passage. First, Jonah had an active calling. We see this active calling very clearly at the start of verse 2, and so I want to highlight these two things for us. First, God called Jonah to get up. Now, that's the way that the CSB translates it. Other translations use the word arise. It's this idea that Jonah was in a position of rest. Now, it's not to imply that he was asleep. It's not to imply that he was lying down, not even that he was in a seated position. It's not to imply anything about his physical position. It's simply to imply that he was at rest, or even more so, that he was in a position of comfort. He was comfortable. And here in the midst of his comfort, God called him to get uncomfortable. God called him to go to Nineveh. So this is what I've learned through the years. Many times God calls us to do the uncomfortable, because it's not about us, it's about his plan, his purpose. So God calls us to do the uncomfortable. Now, this can fly in the face of the American dream for us, because the American dream really tells us to do anything we can to make a comfortable life for ourselves. The American dream will tell us, pursue that higher paying job, pursue that bigger house and that nicer car. The American dream tells us to prioritize our comfort at all costs. But as we look at Scripture, what we see over and over again is this: God is more concerned with his kingdom than our comfort. Hear that again. God is more concerned with his kingdom than our comfort. This is the same thing that we just saw in the book of Haggai. The Israelites, they had become comfortable and complacent, and in the midst of their comfort, God called them to get uncomfortable that they might walk in obedience to him. God is more concerned with his kingdom than our comfort. And so if God's kingdom is his priority, then God's kingdom should be our priority as well. So God called Jonah to get up. Second, God called Jonah to go. Not only did Jonah need to get out of his comfort, but if Jonah was going to walk in obedience, it meant that Jonah wasn't going to be able to stay in the same place that he was already in. So let me give this reminder. God's kingdom extends beyond your borders. I think sometimes it's difficult for us to see beyond our own borders, whether we're talking about the border of our home, the border of our jobs, the border of our community, or any other border that we might set up for ourselves. It's difficult to see beyond our own borders, but God calls us to go beyond our borders. You know, as we've already shared this morning marks the first day of the week of prayer for the Mary Hill Davis offering and Texas Baptist Missions. And as we think about this, right, the Mary Hill Davis offering, it allows for Baptist churches across this state to come together, to pull our resources together that we might send missionaries beyond our border throughout the state of Texas. In fact, we've got prayer guides that are at the back of the room, and let me just highlight page 3 for you. It's got one of our members, Karen Kibbe, right here. She's pictured here from the Women's Build Project, which she goes on every year. She's going to be going in a few weeks, in a month or so. She's going to be going back to the Women's Build. The Mary Hill Davis offering and our focus on Texas Baptist Missions allows for us to look beyond our community. But as Southern Baptists, we're also able to come together with other churches across our country and around the world to pull our resources together for the sake of not just Texas missions, but for the sake of North American missions and for the sake of international missions. This is part of why I love being a Southern Baptist, because we strive to be a kingdom-focused people. But I think that if we're not careful and if we're not intentional, it's very easy to see God's kingdom as only extending as far as our own borders go. And so, as we think about Jonah, if Jonah was going to walk in obedience, he had to get up and go. He had to go beyond his borders. This was an active calling. It was a calling that could not be accomplished by staying where he was in his comfort or in his community. Rather, if he was going to walk in obedience, he was going to have to go to Nineveh. Now, as we think about Jonah's calling, I want to remind you, as believers, we also have an active calling. It's called the Great Commission. We see it in Matthew chapter 28. And our calling isn't simply to go to Nineveh. Our calling is to go to the nations. And if we're going to accomplish this mission, if we're going to walk in obedience to this call that God has placed on the life of every single believer, then like Jonah, it's not going to be accomplished by sitting down. It's going to be accomplished by getting up and by going. And I believe that although this extends beyond our borders, it does begin within our borders. By getting up and going to our neighbors, by getting up and going to our friends, by getting up and going to our family members, by getting up and going into our jobs with the gospel. And then we take the gospel wherever else God allows us to go. It begins in our borders, but then it extends far beyond our borders. So Jonah had an active calling. Second, Jonah had a specific message. Let's look at the rest of verse 2. It says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their evil has come up before me." Jonah had a specific message. Jonah was called to preach against Nineveh. Now, he wasn't called to preach against a race of people. He was called to preach against their sin. Again, this is a very countercultural message, because Jonah wasn't sent with a message of acceptance or a message of tolerance. Jonah was sent with a message of repentance. He was to take to them a message that was it would in essence point out their sins and tell them, man, you've got destruction coming to you unless you turn from your sins and begin walking in obedience to the Lord. And while Jesus had not yet come to this earth yet to die on the cross for us, in essence, Jonah was called to take to them a form of the gospel, to tell them that their sin was not acceptable in the sight of God, to tell them that there was a cost for their sin, and to tell them that their only hope was by turning to God Himself, asking for forgiveness that they might be spared. Jonah had a specific message. Once again, as we look to the Great Commission, we also have a specific message as Christ followers. But I want you to hear me. On this side of the cross, we aren't just sharing a form of the gospel, we are sharing the fullness of the gospel. Hear that again. On this side of the cross, we aren't just sharing a form of the gospel, we are sharing the fullness of the gospel. While Jonah going to Nineveh was a foreshadowing of the gospel, Jesus going to the cross was a fulfillment of the gospel. And the message we have been sent with is not the message of Jonah. The message we have been sent with is the message of Jesus. We aren't just sharing a form of the gospel. We are sharing the fullness of the gospel. And just like Jonah, the message that we have been sent with, the message that of the gospel, it points out the sins of mankind. It points out the cost of our sins, the impending destruction because of our sins. And it calls us to repentance, but it also gives us a hope, a final hope and a complete hope for those who will believe. Because Scripture tells us if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. It points out sin, but it also gives us that complete message of hope in Jesus Christ. This is the message that we have been entrusted with. It's the message that we have been sent with, and it is the only message that has the power to save. Now, some may argue, you know what? That really doesn't sound like a message of love. That doesn't sound like a message of tolerance. And so I would give you this simple reminder this morning. Jesus didn't die to tolerate your life. Jesus died to transform your life. And maybe that's a truth you need to be reminded of today. Jesus didn't die to tolerate your life. Jesus died to transform your life. And let me just tell you, the transformed life is better than the tolerated life. Because what Jesus gives us is far better than the sin that we have in our life that maybe we want others to tolerate. And so if you're here today and you would say that you are still in your sin, then understand the message of the gospel is for you, that you might be forgiven, that your life might be transformed, that your soul would be saved. The message of the gospel is for you. So Jonah had an active calling. Jonah had a specific message. Unfortunately, as we see, Jonah had a rebellious response. Let's look at the first part of verse 3 again. It says, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Jonah had a rebellious response. Jonah only partially obeyed. He got up, but he didn't get up to obey the Lord. He got up to go away from where the Lord had called him to go. He got up so that he could go where he wanted to go. So let me just give this reminder this morning. Partial obedience is really disobedience. It wasn't enough for Jonah to get up. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. Jonah was told to go with a message to take to Nineveh. But all he did was get up to flee. Partial obedience is really disobedience. And in Jonah's disobedience, he fled to Tarshish. So there's a couple of things that we see about Tarshish. First, Tarshish was in the opposite direction. So not only was Jonah disobedient, he was adamantly disobedient. He was visibly going in the opposite direction that God had called him to go, heading in the opposite direction of God's instructions. The only way for Jonah to come into obedience would be for Jonah to turn around. So I said at the beginning that in many ways I feel like as I look at my own life, that I relate more to Jonah. But the reality is, apart from Christ, we all relate to Jonah. Because apart from Christ, we are all headed in the opposite direction. Apart from Christ, we are all heading in the direction we want to go, not the direction that God has called us to go. We're headed in the opposite direction of His mercy, of His love, of His forgiveness, of His transformation, and of His salvation. And so like Jonah, if we want to come in obedience to the Lord, then like Jonah, what we would need to do is turn around. This is what the gospel calls us to do, to turn to Jesus that we might be saved. So Jonah was going in the opposite direction. But second, Tarshish was considered the furthest one could go. So with their limited knowledge of the earth at that time, they believed Tarshish to be the end of the earth or the edge of the earth. So it was as far as one could think to go. And so Jonah fleeing to Tarshish wasn't simply going in the opposite direction. He was going as far away from God as he thought he could possibly go. Jonah was running headstrong in his disobedience. Now, next week, we're going to see where that disobedience takes him. But this morning, the question is not where was Jonah heading or what direction was Jonah heading. This morning, the question is, what direction are you heading? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord, or are you going in the opposite direction? Are you walking in disobedience to the Lord? And if you are walking in disobedience to the Lord, then I would bring you back to that truth that I said early on. When it comes to the Lord's call, obedience is always better than resistance. I believe that every time we look at God's word, it calls us to obedience. And just as we have looked at God's word this morning, I believe that God's word once again is calling us to obedience. For the believer, we have been called to obediently follow God's word. We have been called to obediently respond to the Great Commission. And we have been called to be obedient to whatever the Lord might call us to. But for the unbeliever, the obedience that you have been called to is to turn to Jesus in surrender, to recognize the sin that's in your life, just as Jonah was called to take that message to Nineveh to point out their sin. The call to obedience for you today is to recognize the sin that's in your life, to recognize the destruction that will come if you continue in your sin, and to turn to Jesus that you might be spared. And remember, the transformed life is always better than the tolerated life. And so I want to give you an opportunity to respond in obedience to the Lord and His word this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is your opportunity to respond to the Lord. You can either respond in obedience, or you can continue going in your own direction and reject what the Lord has called you to. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, I've never given my life to Christ, I've never trusted in Him as Lord, then today, as you recognize the sin that's in your life, I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I would love to talk with you, pray with you. Today, you can cry out to the Lord. Today, you can turn to Him, and you will receive that forgiveness that you so desperately need. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I have given my life to Christ. I'm a believer, but you know what? If I'm honest, man, I still am struggling to walk in obedience. I am still clinging to my own desires. I'm still going in my own direction. Today, maybe you just need to confess that to the Lord and get back on track following Him. If that's you, I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But you know what? You can talk to the Lord right where you're at as well if you just need to talk with Him and get your life right with Him right where you're at. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never made my faith in Christ public through baptism, just like Henderson did this morning. If you've given your life to Christ, but you haven't taken that step to be obedient in baptism, then I would invite you to respond as well. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe it's something that God has called us to do. And so we don't want to run in the opposite direction. We want to do what the Lord has called us to and go in that direction. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that step of obedience through baptism by immersion. And I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers, to be on mission with this church body as we strive to walk in obedience, Lord, to go in the direction He calls us to go. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and you can become a member of this church body this morning. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do, don't resist. Respond in obedience. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.